Flyover Politic Podcast, the show for normal Americans. From this undisclosed bunker, here's your host, Tony Reed.
It is the end of democracy if we do not take and hold the president accountable.
This is about literally the safety of our democracy.
This is the end of democracy in America.
It's a clear and present danger to our democracy.
We are a democracy in danger.
Democracy is in danger.
Perhaps the end of democracy.
The end of democracy in America.
And the ending of American democracy.
If the Democrats fail, it might be the end of American democracy.
They're actually trying to destroy democracy.
We might see the end of democracy.
Could spell the end of democracy.
A re-election of Donald Trump could mean the end of democracy.
The death of democracy.
This is really scary stuff that could lead to the end of democracy.
The end of democracy.
It potentially is the end of democracy.
A memo that could have destroyed democracy.
The end of democracy as we know it in America.
It's a referendum on the end of democracy.
The end of democracy.
They want to destroy our democracy.
This gerrymandering case actually could be the end of democracy.
Planning for the end of democracy.
First, elect Republicans, and second, destroy democracy.
It is destroying democracy.
Our democracy really is in fundamental peril.
It's kind of like the death of democracy.
A case that could end democracy.
One, can Donald Trump really win again? And two, will it really be the end of American democracy if he does? And my answer to both those questions was yes.
I think it will be the end of democracy.
Democrats versus, as Bill Kristol says, the end of democracy.
Democracy under attack.
When will America stop sleepwalking towards the end of democracy?
Right. An actual Trump-led wannabe empire is the end of democracy.
One election away from the end of American democracy.
Calling for the end of democracy.
The death of democracy.
One vote away from sort of the end of democracy as we know it.
We saw in the midterms in 2022, the notion that our democracy was under threat was motivating to people.
1 year from now, it could be over. American democracy could be over. Donald Trump, 1 year from now, could win. Why does Joe Biden still have all of his campaign people inside the White House? When are they going to go out and start working on the campaign, not of his lifetime, of our lifetime? When are they going to start acting like American?
And welcome back to Flyover Politic Podcast. It's the 5th of May, year of our Lord, 2024. And that is a montage of the media every election. What do we have? We're going to lose democracy unless we vote for the party that doesn't really care about democracy. Because they really don't care. A lot of interesting stuff today, but we're going to hit a few things up front, and we're going to go into woke and then come back for some intifada stuff. So there was only one network that actually covered that a member of ISIS came across the border, and I don't know, maybe that's important.
Tonight, among the record wave of migrants crossing the southern border, a suspected ISIS member who lived freely in the U.S. for nearly 2 years. Two U.S. officials tell NBC News. 33-year-old Jakovir Atoyev of Uzbekistan crossed into Arizona in February 2022, where he was apprehended and vetted by both Customs and Border Protection and ICE. He was not on the U.S. terror watch list, and he was released into the U.S., those sources tell us. Then, in May 2023, Uzbekistan put out an international alert, saying that Atoyev was affiliated with ISIS and wanted there. But it took nearly a year for U.S. officials to figure out the suspected ISIS member was living.
I hate doing the whataboutism, but let's just do the math. How would that go? Huh? How would that go? I just sometimes don't. I don't understand. I just don't understand. I can't even comprehend how that's not front page news and everywhere. But most of this isn't. It's never front page news. We never hear about it. We just don't. Here is ABC fawning over a state dinner like they're fucking prov.
To turn now to the White House, honoring America's top teachers last night, including the National Teacher of the Year. Senior White House correspondent Selena Wang was there, and ABC got an exclusive behind-the-scenes access.
The White House for the first time hosting a state dinner for teachers. Now, these are lavish events for heads of state, but this time, teachers got to experience the glitz and glam, and we got that exclusive look behind the scenes. Overnight, the White House hosting the first ever Teachers of the Year state dinner. First Lady Dr. Jill Biden toasting honorees from nearly every state and territory. Missy Testerman, who's been teaching for over three decades and teaches English as a second language to elementary and middle school students in Tennessee, was honored as the National Teacher of the Year.
Why is teaching so important to you?
Teaching is so important because it's how this country moves forward. Educators make every single other profession possible.
Missy Testerman said in her speech last night that teachers make democracy possible by educating the next generation.
Very glitzy. You might recall that the First Lady revealed right here on CBS Mornings last month that she was going to host a state dinner for the nation's top teachers. And so last night, the educators traded in their school clothes for gowns and suits as they were each announced individually at the event. Now, this is a big deal since White House state dinners are typically reserved for visiting heads of state, prime ministers, the Hollywood elite. It's the toughest ticket in town. But this face, take a look, may look familiar. Missy Testerman joined CBS Mornings last month when we revealed that she was named the 2024 National Teacher of the Year, the English as a Second Language Program Director at Rogersville City School in Tennessee, has been teaching for more than three decades, and she was celebrated last night.
And then, of course, we got the Trumpisms. We have a lot of Trumpisms that, you know, they pull out each year, and this is a good montage, and these are the last ones I'm just going to play because from now on I'm going to play and talk because I enjoy that more. Here is his bloodbath hoax that was never true. Robert De Niro saying Trump is Hitler, and the guy, I really like this guy, Jeff Daniels. I watched his new series, but him and his fucking politics are just, I mean, why would you go on and say this? If you're in a business of being a product, maybe you should shut your fucking cock hole and talk about nothing but your product, because really you should be gearing towards all Americans.
Meantime, in the race for the White House, Donald Trump refusing to commit now to accepting the results of the upcoming November election. And President Biden tonight saying, take Donald Trump at his word on this. Here's Mary Bruce.
Tonight, the Biden campaign is calling Donald Trump a danger to the Constitution and a threat to our democracy after the former president refused to say he would accept the results of the election. Trump telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, if everything's honest, I'd gladly accept the results. If it's not, you have to fight for the right of the country. Tonight, President Biden saying, take Trump at his word. Our Karen Travers asking him,
are you worried that Trump says he won't accept the election results?
Earlier this week, when Trump was asked by Time magazine if he's concerned about violence if he doesn't win, he said, if we don't win, you know, it depends. It always depends on the fairness of an election. Biden has been ramping up his warnings.
He promises, quote, a bloodbath if he loses. This guy denies January 6th. Listen to what he says, because you know he means it.
The president urging voters to take this seriously as some of Trump's language echoes what he said in the run-up to the January 6th attack on the Capitol. The Biden campaign concerned that Trump supporters may be listening closely.
What do you say to those who say, I don't like the guy, but I'm going to vote for him? What's your message to them?
I don't understand it. I don't think they understand how dangerous it
will be if he ever, God forbid, becomes president. I don't think they really understand. And historically, from what I see, even with, in Nazi Germany, they had it with Hitler. They don't take him serious. He looks like a clown, acts like a clown. Mussolini, same thing. These guys, I don't know why, they look like clowns. They somehow, people, that element of society identifies in some ways with them, but it would be chaos beyond our imagination. There's no mystery about him. He's right out front, and what he says is what it'll be if he becomes president.
Do you think our democracy is at risk in this election?
I think that it is. I always keep saying, democracy is great, of course, but democracy people take for granted. It's a word that some people don't even understand. They take it for granted. It's about right and wrong, period. The guy's a monster. He is beyond wrong. It's almost like he wants to do the most horrible things that he can think of in order to get a rise out of us. I don't know what it is, but he's been doing it, and it's scary.
Are you?
Excuse my French.
Do you have any concerns for the future of the arts if you were to become president? He has already said he wants to go after his enemies. He wants to go after journalists and the news
yes.
media.
Mm-hmm.
What about your industry?
I believe he would. The only thing that I would think is that what will happen is that he'll go after these things, like he always impulsively, and he'll be stopped. There'll be pushback, a lot of it, and there might be as much pushback as needed, like in the streets, conflict, that could happen, civil strife.
So as you sat down, we were talking about the connection that this has to today's politics, also because class is such a big part of this story.
Mm-hmm.
And connecting to our last conversation, class is going to be a big part of this election. And Michigan, state you're from, you live in, you know so well, might even be the tipping point state this time around. Both candidates spending a lot of time there. How do you see all of these issues, connection, including class, shaping how voters go to the polls in what's going to be a very tight race?
Well, class, yes, but what stretches over class, I think, is decency and mm-hmm. honesty and values and principles. I mean, we live in the Midwest. We don't necessarily take New York and L.A. as seriously as New York and L.A. takes itself. You know, I hate to tell you,
yeah, we understand.
But we're flyover country, and we got a chip on our shoulder about that. And we're not as stupid as people like Trump in particular think we are. He talks down to us. He talks past us. He lies to us. And we get it. And it's really not the people on the right. They're gonna stay there. You know, okay, terrific. Class or no class, they're gonna stay there. The left's gonna stay on the left. It's that 20%, 15% in the middle, the Reagan Democrats, the moderate Republicans who are going, I'm over Trump, maybe Nikki Haley. I'm over, okay, dissent, okay, get me somebody. But basically, I think even the middle of the country, even Michigan, is watching the Republican Party destroy itself.
And,
but there are two wars going on. I see the war within the Republican Party, which we're all standing back going, you know, knock yourselves out. And then there's the war for democracy, which is going on right now. And it's on the internet. It's on social media. It's on people not listening anymore. But that war is going to culminate in November. And I think that's when the voters, and I would be, I'm cautiously optimistic that the people in the middle, the people in states like Michigan, are going to go, you know what, we're better than this. I'm going to vote for Biden, even though he's old, which also translates into wise and wisdom, which we may need right now, because the election that I really want to vote on is the one in 2028, when people are now running with a future.
Which brings us to some of the stuff that I've seen that, some of you might already seen it. It's nice to see people are starting to fight back on all these protests and stop being so understanding, so to speak. Because that is all you hear. You're going to hear Trump's goddamn piece of shit, blah, blah, blah. You're not going to hear from the frat boy family, right? We're not going to hear that shit. Why would we hear that shit? This stuff has gotten out of control, right? It is now fully out of control. It has broken the pale. And we have some amazing stuff happening that people aren't even paying attention to. The frat boys, which everybody knows now, our son's fraternity is going viral, holding an American flag off the ground, expecting that it stood for 99% of the positive response of a GOP or right-centered. Has it become bad politics or Democrats respect our flag? I feel it has. That's brutal. The said people, please don't co-opt this action to political reasons. They act in a spontaneous service to America and for several Israeli flag. Unlike the mob, they were protecting the flag from. They're not pawns, just boys who respect those flag, what the flag stands for. That's what it was about. It'll get co-opted. It'll be put into things. But I made a compilation of positive things I have seen, and it begins with the UNC and Mississippi State. I got that from a friend. I decided over the last couple weeks that, you know, part of my problem is I don't have any friends anymore, and I don't have any friends because I don't answer the goddamn phone. I don't answer emails. I don't talk to people. I've gone totally dark because my life sucked, and I didn't want to be that negative guy. So I reached out to some guys, had some great conversations. And they sent me that video, and I ain't gonna lie to you. I was getting out to go walk. It was raining. Been having some bad mornings, a lot of bad memories, things that are just not making me happy. And I got teary-eyed over that. It was so nice to see. I used to have a flagpole in my front yard, a bunch of lights on it. I did a storm flag. Kept it up. First thing I did when I got back from Afghanistan, I remember the local news made me and my son raise the flag. That was the first thing I put in. Went down to Lowe's, bought the big kit, 30 foot tall. Got the light ran, sat underneath my sidewalk with a metal pipe, and I was whacking to get the dirt out, and I ran an electric cord underneath, hooked up these lights, and I wanted to honor the flag, and then everything went to shit. And I took it down. Somebody got upset that I had a flag up all the time in a military town. And in my road, you have fucking BLM flags, this flag, 4,000 different LGBT flags. Because they don't know which one they want to use. Fuck Joe Biden. Protect Joe Biden. Hillary for prison. Hillary for president. Trump sucks. Trump, make America great. I don't hang my flag anymore. I just don't. We handed the country back that all my friends died in. We're fucking abortion, man. We are so bad. So when you see things like this, it's for vets who fought for the flag. Yeah, it's emotional. So to see these kids right here do this was amazing. You guys see that little bitch right there cursing at him. This is in North Carolina. Having shit thrown on him. Now, I want to make sure we understand, in every one of these cases, the people defending the flag were assaulted, had shit thrown at them, cursed in their face. The people that are doing everything aren't doing anything. If you roll back the clock to Charlotte, the racist didn't attack anybody. People attacked them. The media never showed it. You found out a few weeks later, the guy who killed the woman didn't do it on purpose. He was getting bricked. They were throwing bricks at these racists. I'm not on the racist side. I'm not saying there's fine people. I'm saying if you throw bricks at people, they're going to do crazy shit because you get hit with the brick, it don't feel good. Been hit with a brick. He freaked. He killed the lady because he just wanted to get out of there. And he went to prison forever. We never reported the truth, and then we said fine people. We never went back and said that almost every one of these cases, when there is violence, it's the left. Because they're protected. They know they can do it. The media and the police and DOJ. Nobody's going to go around looking for these kids. They raised that flag.
Was so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight for the ramparts.
At different angles.
So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight for the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Now we have police officers. They did the same thing. They cut down the fucking flag, and this is in New York. And they raised the American flag. That won't make the news. Nobody's going to talk about it. Nobody is. Because why would it? I mean, why would we go over this shit? Why would we actually talk about the real stories? Why would we for a minute say, hey, this is out of control. What you're doing is wrong. Do you understand who these people are? Do you even know what you're protesting? Do you have a fucking clue that if you went over to fucking Hamasistan right now, you're going to get fucked up? You're going to get broke, dude. It's not even going to be fun. You take your little gay stuff and all that other crap over there. I'm not bashing LGBT
How
stuff. I'm just saying,
thing,
take it all.
You race traitor?
Race
creator,
really?
Yeah. Yeah. Uncle Tom.
This is a congressman, and that is a professor.
United States is supporting a Jewish supremacist country.
Outside agitators aren't allowed. You're working for a foreign entity, you
You're
bastard.
You're an outside agitator, dude.
Get him out of here.
Get out of here,
yeah,
sir.
Student.
That guy's really old
You're
to be in college.
And we're back live here. This is a professor from American University who also teaches at Georgetown. Another professor from American University kind of having a civics class with the protesters here.
This is who you're fighting for.
It's us! Hey, think about the USA. It should burn! America.
You guys think Hamas is a terrorist organization?
One man's terrorist, another man's freedom fighter?
One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. All they are is bumper stickers. We played that.
We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth. It's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it, such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth.
That's who they're fighting for. And they think, of course, that they're the freedom fighters, they're the good people. If you don't believe what they believe, you're the traitor. It's getting bad on the left. We're going to play some really good sound bites in a second. But I want to play all we're hearing because they don't want to cover the truth. So you have pro-Hamas UCLA camp gets busted up. CBS hints that they're going to kill students. PBS. Why college protests are labeled anti-Semitic. They don't know why. Why would you do that? Meyer claims Columbia should have rejected police. CBS airs Gazan kids thanking U.S. campus protesters. If you're getting thanks from them, oh, sweet Jesus, you've lost the thread.
Breaking overnight, police swarmed demonstrators at UCLA a day after their encampment was attacked by counter-protesters.
The aggression that we face shows that the university has no choice to just stand by and wait for us to get killed by Zionist aggressors.
Again, we just want to reiterate, this just happened minutes ago. Police fired what appeared to be non-lethal rounds at some of the protesters. That was the pop, pop, pop that you just heard there. Those folks were sheltering behind a barricade. Because again, this is live pictures coming into the newsroom right now where you see, looks like hundreds of police officers in full riot gear now holding up weapons at those protesters. These pictures are remarkable coming into us right now into the newsroom when you see what looks like dozens, if not perhaps hundreds of police officers in full riot gear, and they're trying to get on to clear this encampment. And again, Americans haven't seen scenes like this since the 1960s when college campuses erupted over protests in Vietnam. And now we're seeing this again play out on college campuses all across the country. And of course, the fear is that somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it.
Or even worse.
And when you look at the protesters, some are speaking and saying that we are protesting peacefully and we are looking for support from the police. And then others are saying that the police are not offering that. They are actually doing the opposite.
And of course, the danger, as you see this police officer trying to tear down a barricade that presumably protests.
As a New Yorker, I just want to say I really appreciate knowing that this is where my tax dollars are going, using drones to round up co-eds rather than, say, keeping libraries open or building affordable housing or making sure the F-train isn't a total piece of shit. So the NYPD responded with advanced technology and unprecedented force to a college protest. Columbia and New York City officials said they were left with no choice. And I mean, let's face it, it's not like they had any alternatives. Unfortunately, there's just no other way for a college to deal with a protest like this.
We also have news just out of Brown University, which has come to agreement with protesters there. The university says it will hold a vote on divestment from Israel later this year, that is, ending investments in Israel. It's a key demand from students. Students have said that in response to that, well, they will disband the encampment by 5 p.m. Eastern today.
But what about our drones? If there's a peaceful settlement, what are we going to do with all our drones? I know. Maybe instead of taking the F train, the drones can fly us to work. I would hope that there's maybe one thing we can all agree on. No matter how you feel about the protesters, we should spend less time arguing about college kids and more time focusing on what the protests are about. Point Senator Bernie Sanders made on Wednesday.
Well, I suggest the CNN and maybe some of my colleagues here maybe take your cameras just for a moment off of Columbia and off of UCLA. Maybe go to Gaza and take your camera and show us the emaciated children who are dying of malnutrition because of Netanyahu's policies.
He's right. The story is what's happening in Gaza. That's what the protests are about. As I said on this show before, the misery and devastation in Gaza is horrifying. It must end. At the same time, it is important to be clear. Anti-Semitism is vile, must be rejected in all its forms. Anti-Semitic harassment has no place anywhere, including on a college campus. And the constitutional right.
And so I think if the protests continue to veer in the direction they're veering, you could see some pretty serious repercussions, which is why Biden is speaking, which is why Chuck Schumer is speaking, trying to distance himself from what the protesters are doing.
I mean, Jonathan, a lot of the critics of these protests like to say that it's all anti-Semitism, just a hot stew of anti-Israeli bias. I was at one of the NYU protests earlier this week, and there is some of that, for sure, but it's mostly young people, as you were describing, who are despairing over what is happening in Gaza. How is it that people who care deeply about this issue can somehow protest and not be risked being branded as anti-Semites?
Okay, so what, excuse me, so there's anti-Semitism, but then you also you said anti-Israeli.
I'm even conflating it myself here.
Exactly, and that is the issue. It is possible to criticize the government of Israel, the state of Israel, the prime minister of Israel, the policies, what he says, his actions, without veering into ugly anti-Semitism. If you don't like what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is doing in Gaza, not allowing enough humanitarian aid to go through, that is a legitimate criticism. But to then go in.
And for the first time, aid started flowing through a reopened border crossing destroyed on October 7th as Gazans rallied to thank U.S.
It's obvious the media is one side in all this. Police separate pro-Palestinian, pro-Israeli protesters amid clashes. And almost all of these from Time are negative articles. None of them are there. We even get fact check. U.S. flag was not replaced by Palestinian flag. It was over in a different area. And then Newsweek did the same thing. Did Harvard place flag? What are the dumbest things? Hamas is standing with Hamas, blah, blah, blah. Palestinian protests, ways of demonstration take place, da-da-da-da-da-da. Protests, your photos were buried, da-da-da-da-da. No, they replaced it in a different spot. Yeah. There's even this one that I can't find because it's behind the paywall. Pro-Hamas activists tie themselves to flagpole after raising the flag after seeing what happened at Chapel Hill. So they don't want it. No, they don't want that. That's bad. And then we get these things. Like, this is Mika, which it's so good. Mika. Here's Mika. This is Al Sharpton. It's like January 6th.
We need to pressure Netanyahu to move towards a ceasefire and bring those hostages home. This detracts from our bigger cause.
And let me say this, the politics of that, what is being robbed by them not doing that, Joe, where you and I agree, how do the Democrats, how do all of us on that side say January 6th was wrong if you can have the same pictures going on college campus?
Good Lord, don't make a parallel with January 6th.
How do you not make a parallel? Al Sharpton is the voice of reason. What the fuck's going on in the room? What's going on? Here's.
I've got to say, you'd ask for parents.
Scarborough later.
We're saying about this. I mean, for parents whose children are, and their children, by the way, there's some adults. You know, but I say this because we've got kids, obviously, of college age. Obviously, there are many that are distressed. I'm sure many are concerned about their safety. I certainly hope the students got out and are doing it peacefully right now. But Richard, this is, I tried to explain this a couple days ago. Maybe I wasn't eloquent enough. But I can tell you my family. I'm not saying the Vietnam War was a just war. It was not a just war. But I can tell you the riots on college campuses, the riots at the Chicago Convention in 68, all of those things moved my family from being Democrats their entire life to being Republicans.
See, that's the problem. They know that this...
Right. Well, first of all, the protesters who are there supporting the Palestinian people and their right to be free, I would guess probably 98% of them are not saying anything that's anti-Semitic because they don't believe in anti-Semitism, in part...
Hello. From the river to the sea. That's anti-Semitic. And it's these people. This is
we're here
going
at
on.
UMass's campus supporting the students in their encampment. They're demanding for divestment from war profiteers and warmongers. I'm here with Yaffa, who just spoke to the students.
Yaffa! Here is them attacking police. What the fuck is that? 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 This is Frank Bruni. It's Trump's
Frank,
fault.
What do you think is different here about Columbia, where there's been no ability to tamp it down?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is I think everything that happens in New York City is on steroids, right? We don't know exactly who's in that building and what effect that has on it. I also think various political actors, and this is indicative of our grievance culture, various political actors have decided to choose this particular circumstance to come in and choose their sides and make their statements, and I think that has accelerated and amplified things. Mike Johnson, for example, the Speaker of the House. A week ago, I was writing about how much I admired the fact that he made common cause with Democrats, changed his mind about Ukraine aid, and then the next day or the day beyond that, he goes up to New York. He didn't need to be here, and he says maybe we should bring in the National Guard. We have too many.
I was there, by the way, on the steps of Columbia when he was there, and he came out, and he said,
I want to ask you a question. If January 6th is the 3-hour insurrection, the worst day since the War 1812, fucking Hiroshima, 9/11, and put in your analogy, and we ringed the Capitol for a fucking month with National Guardsmen. Why every time when there's real violence? We're not talking half-assed violence. These motherfuckers are tearing shit the fuck up. You may not put it on the TV, and you might think we're all fucking stupid, but everybody can fucking see it. You are tearing the world up. You guys are tearing the world up, and we don't need them. And anybody who says, oh, we need them, oh, they're a fucking piece of shit. Oh, they're this, they're that. Oh, that's such hyperbole. Folks, it's worse. It's completely worse than January 6th by a long shot.
He did what he intended to do.
Right.
But he was clearly taken aback and surprised by how many students were there. And at that point, there were only a few hundred. But they gathered, and they were not happy. But it was not what he was expecting.
But did he need to do that? You know, so many of the voices that have joined this situation and have shouted about it, because that's what we do these days, we shout, we don't talk.
Yeah.
Have they been there to score political points and for their own purposes, or have they been there to really calm and solve this? I think this has been a sort of, this particular situation has attracted political actors scoring points in a way that the situations on some of those other campuses have not.
Right, maybe because it's Columbia.
It's Columbia.
He came, he brought three or four other representatives with him. I was standing next to him. The students couldn't fully hear them.
Right.
And that was a good thing,
right.
Frank. Because if they had heard what they were saying, in one case saying you all should be ashamed, I mean, there would have been a true outcry. The intention of them appearing was for the press conference part, not to actually talk to the students.
Right. They came here because New York City is the media capital. Where are you and I sitting right now? We're sitting in a studio in New York City. They came here because more cameras are here, more media companies are here than in any other city.
Where we anticipate
this
confrontation will happen. We saw the students occupy it and whoever else was with them. Broken windows. And the first thing when you see that broken window, I'm thinking of that indelible image of the Capitol.
Yeah.
Far right protesters on January 6th. Here we are on April 30th. People who would identify themselves as far left protesters.
Right.
Doing the same thing.
Well, you do have to ask if there's a through line from one to the other. I mean, January 6th, we had a president still at the time, now a former president, who has romanticized what's happened there, who has sent the message that if you really believe in something and if you're fighting for it, you do the most provocative, disruptive, confrontational thing possible. That's what the rioters on January 6th did. That's what these students and their non-student allies, whatever we want to call them, are doing here. There's this, it's all the same sort of ethos, the same sort of approach.
Think so? That's interesting. It's never them.
I wanted to speak a Here's few the moments president. About what's going on.
We're
going to
do a whataboutism on this. He's going to talk briefly about anti-Semitism and go straight into.
And they put to the test two fundamental American principles. Excuse me.
Freedom of speech.
The first is the right to free speech and for people to peacefully assemble and make their voices heard. The second is the rule of law. Both must be upheld. We are not an authoritarian nation where we silence people or squash dissent. The American people are heard. In fact, peaceful protest is in the best tradition of how Americans respond to consequential issues. But but neither are we a lawless country. We are a civil society, and order must prevail. Throughout our history, we've often faced moments like this because we are a big, diverse, free-thinking, and freedom-loving nation. In moments like this, there are always those who rush in to score political points. But this isn't a moment for politics. It's a moment for clarity. So let me be clear. Peaceful protest in America. Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is. It's against the law when violence occurs. Destroying property is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law. Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest. Threatening people, intimidating people, instilling fear in people is not peaceful protest. It's against the law. Dissent is essential to democracy, but dissent must never lead to disorder or to denying the rights of others so students can finish the semester and their college education. Look, it's basically a matter of fairness. It's a matter of what's right. There's the right to protest, but not the right to cause chaos. People have the right to get an education, the right to get a degree, the right to walk across the campus.
Mm-hmm. So why did they do that? Well, they did it because they realize now, just like BLM, people are looking at their TVs and going, okay, what is the difference? What do we have the difference here? Can you tell me what the difference is? Because I don't see the difference. This is January 6th on steroids, I heard somebody say once. January 6th on steroids. It is the worst thing that's ever happened in the lives of anybody on the planet ever. This is what you got. You guys made this, all right? This is the world you made. And it's a fucking clusterfuck. You know, I know it's a clusterfuck. This is what they're doing. We have all this going on, anti-Hamas shit or anti-Semitism. Aguilar. Congressman Aguilar, let me get his first name because I never fuck his name. Henry Cellular, sorry, and his wife have been charged by DOJ for allegedly taking $600,000 in bribes from oil and gas companies. They're Democrats. You'll never hear it. Then we get into religion. AP, American Catholic Church sees an immense shift towards the old ways. It was the music that changed first. Maybe that just when many people at the pale brick Catholic church in quiet Wisconsin neighborhood finally began to realize what was happening. The choir director, a fixture at St. Maria Goriella for nearly 40 years, was suddenly gone. Contemporary hymns were replaced by music rooted in medieval Europe. So much was changing. Sermons were focused more on sin and confession. Priests were rarely even without cassocks. Altar girls. They went back to being religious because the world's a clusterfuck. And you people keep saying, nope, doesn't matter, fuck everything, do that, we don't care, fuck, 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 and more periods, fuck. And people are reacting. Americans are seeing 252nd attack on a Catholic church since Dobbs Lake. We don't have anybody in prison from Jane's Revenge. And now the little things are coming out. Elderly woman held in prolonged solitary confinement because she prayed on a fucking sidewalk has a stroke. Elderly woman who prayed on a fucking sidewalk who went to jail is also not allowed urgent care because she's a Christian. We don't have time for Christians. We don't have any time at all for you fucks. Folks, this stuff is out of control. And I'm just going to breeze through articles. I'm not going to do slideshows because it's just too much. Because I have so much stuff. It's like insane amount of stuff right now just from going through all this crap. Let me open up some pages. I'm just going to read stuff. Okay. Intifada is what I put it down, because that's what we're calling it. It's Intifada. One of the spokesperson for the UCLA protest explains their end goal is more than divestment, she says. Given the University of California is founded on colonialism, inherent a violent institution, she argues the UC system is linked to both foreign wars and everything. Oh, let's play this. I did not see this, so I didn't get it. Sorry. We're going to listen to this fucking lady. And she's a white girl. It always goes back to white women. White women need to get laid. They need to stop all trying to be lesbians. Go get a dick and stop being weird. I know it's a sexist thing to say, but I mean, dudes. They started planning these protests in motherfucking November. November! They were already countering it because they knew it was bad. They chopped off baby heads. If you literally go to... Oh, Jesus Christ. Is it going to let me do this? Oh, it is. Oh, this is good. Holy fuck, I didn't know I could get this. Usually can't get this shit. Now, this is just the front of WAPO. So let's listen to these fucking moonbats.
I wanted to speak a few moments about what's going on our college campuses here. We've all seen images, and they put to the test...
Here's the protesters.
It's more than divestment as well. I think given the fact that the University of California is founded on colonialism, it's inherently a violent institution. There needs to be an addressment of U.S. imperialism and its ties to the UC system and how it perpetuates war and violence abroad. Not only abroad, but also here, locally. We see this with the brutality, the police brutality that black and brown students face here at UCLA, Arab students, Muslim students, Palestinian students.
Oh, they're treated so poorly. They get free fucking tuition because of their skin color. This is the cover of WAPO, where it shows basically they're peaceful. People are bad. Oh, we got CS'd. Yeah, you got CS'd because you're probably told to go the fuck away and you didn't. An official on UCLA campus sent me these photos, videos, and told me the university is using taxpayer money to violate the law. Official security is maintaining a perimeter around the anti-Israel camp encampment while they're keeping some students out. They gave them wristbands so only the protesters could go in. This right here is... Oh, God. This made me smile. I smiled. I have no skin in this game, but I love that. That's where all their shit went. Just they threw it in the trash. The place was trashed. White House Post condemning hate speech and violence couldn't possibly be more predictable. It's exactly what he said. Condemning anti-Semitism without tossing an Islamophobia challenge. Impossible. Because they do it every time. Oh, God, they're just so bad. This is another one. Oh, God, this has made me fucking smile. HIMSS, which is for peckers, has nothing to do with politics. It's about peckers. Stock plummeted because they ran their cock trap about it. This lady right here got a lot of shit because she fucking... Oh, she's a piece of work. She's, let me see, what they say she is? Liberal white woman. Paid instructor and PhD candidate at Columbia studying theories of imagination and poetry. Oh, fuck, and she worked for fucking CARE. Let's listen to this fucking useless piece of shit that has been treated better her whole life by everybody.
Why should the university be obligated to provide food to people who have taken over a building?
Yeah. Good question.
First of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get
Oh, God, no.
They disagree with you. If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
But they did put themselves in that.
Yes.
Deliberately in that situation and in that position. So it seems like you're sort of saying, we want to be revolutionaries. We want to take up this building. Now would you please bring us food and water?
Exactly.
Nobody's asking them to bring anything. We're asking them to not violently stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian aid.
Violently stop you?
We are looking for a commitment from them that they will not stop it violently.
But they haven't stopped it.
I don't know to what extent it has been attempted, but we're looking for a commitment.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty fucking good. They don't want to be violently stopped, but this is University of Penn.
In fact, I bet, despite the private security team that you've assembled, I can really walk like wherever I want over here, and there's not much you can do to me. Well, I'm not sure what's creepier, me, the student walking on College Hall in the beginning of the morning. Were you guys all in balaclavas and spreading flashlights in my face doing the same thing? Last I checked, this isn't even the camp.
I'm right here.
Yeah, I mean, your face is covered.
Don't matter.
I'm not even sure if you're a student. Are you a student, sir?
What you gonna do about it?
I don't know, but I am a student, so like...
Don't give a fuck.
I pay good money for this one. It's like a nice campus, you know?
Interesting.
You ain't coming in the camp.
No, it's not late at night. It's early in the morning.
You ain't coming in the camp.
Back up. Not in the camp.
Back up.
Your camp is on this side, man.
Back up.
Your side's on this, man. You can't do anything.
Back up.
You can't touch me.
Back up.
I'm not even sure you can stand right in front of me like that.
Yes,
it's kind of
I
annoying.
Can. Oh, yeah.
Then the usual back coming up. To 2.0. Here's somebody saying,
Lizzo,
it's racist.
Lizzo. Fuck you, fat ass. Fuck you. And fuck you, bitch.
Huge bunch of shit about that because it's racist and it's election season. This was Vox, student protest of Palestinian before Israel was even founded. I've covered violent crackdowns on protests 15 years. This police overreaction was unhinged. I didn't hear you saying that on J6 when they actually started the insurrection because they shot CS at people in their face. There's actually video of that. What they did was stupid. I'm not supporting it. I think it's dumb. I don't protest. I fought so people can, but I don't really protest. But for fuck's sake, you can't shoot people in the chest with CS canisters and think people aren't going to get froggy. Yeah. That's it. It's what we have. They are so on the wrong side of history. It hurts my fucking pancreas. It just hurts my pancreas. I don't know where pancreas is. I should with all the stomach issue I've been fighting for 2 years. I should know where my fucking pancreas is. But I don't. So all I can say is, yeah. All right, going to do a bumper because we're going to go woke now. We haven't done a woke show in fucking forever. So I figure, why don't we catch up and go through all the fucking crazy that is woke.
Turn it up, turn it on. Whether Joe Biden believes this madness or is simply too weak to resist it, his administration has been completely hijacked by the radical left. The dividing line in America is no longer between right or left. The choice is between normal or crazy.
Okay, I'm going to watch a lot of videos. I'm going to watch them together because it's so much easier. But this is like weeks of collecting this bullshit. All right. Author of Landmark Hillary Class, author of Landmark Trans Treatment Study Faces Threats. The highly regarded pediatrician who conducted the most thorough review even undertaken on the medical evidence for transitioning gender-confused children has been advised not to travel on public transport for her own safety. Outright lies about her review continue to spread not only in the freebit atmosphere of social media, but from supposedly responsible people like Don Butler Brett. Cass says it is unforgivable for people to undermine her own report. Follow the money, maybe conspiracy theorist trope, and I hate the ex-cliche, let that sink in. But when a respected pediatrician is advised not to travel by bus, and when lobby groups fall over themselves to discredit a meticulous medical view, both might seem to apply. As criticized the spread of disinformation around a report, including from a labor MP, as she revealed that she has been told not to travel. In an interview with Times, the pediatrician behind last week's Landmark Review on treatment of transgender children said that young people are being put at risk. The 388-page report figure concluded the labor MP Don Butler reported claim that Cass has not included 100 transgender studying. Completely wrong, Cass said, and it was unforgivable for people to undermine a report by spreading straight disinformation. The physician 66 who has spoken about toxic debate around the issue also revealed that she's been sent vile, abusive emails because there will not be any opposing views. We won't talk about this student had a 129-page manifesto. It's what, the seventh kid? I mean, there's a lot. We won't talk about this child. Breaking, boy who identifies as a girl reportedly brutally attacked a female student in Lebanon schools. According to sources of the school district, the male student has a known history of attacking other female students. This is the same district where students recently voiced their concern about boys were allowed to change in the locker room. We won't talk about this person right here killed an 80-year-old person for being transphobic. Talking about that. Why would we talk about that? We won't talk about the NHS declared sex is a biologic fact and landmark because you can't get around it. We won't talk about Trans Day of Rage. Oh, I got the wrong one. I missed this one. Did I not get it? Yep, I didn't. This one's good. A trans activist tied to Antifa exploded a bomb at the office of Alabama Attorney General Comcast. Whoever chose to imply pro-lifers planted the bomb. Breaking, suspect arsonist arrested over bombing at Alabama Attorney General. The suspect is a trans non-binary Antifa member. The modern LGBT community has radicalized activism. And this is that dude's face. So this is where we're at. This is the world we live in. Any way you cut it, you can't. That's not a girl. Transgender veterans sued to force VA to give them gender affirming care. People can't even get care. Another court case, mom's going to castrate this kid so she can become woke and virtue signal on the internet. Father is trying to stop it. Court won't stop it. Will Stancil's mischaracterization of opposition to transgender activism backfires. So let's read it. This is what they do because they don't have any facts. They're the party of science, but they don't follow science. If there is a male and female genomes, it's just the way the fuck it is. Anti-trans obsessives are just beyond my comprehension. How do you become so fixated on something that affects you so little, not wonder if maybe there's something broken deep within yourself? No, that's because we really feel bad for trans people because they have something broken inside themselves. I spend every waking minute of every day worried that someone somewhere might be breaking a bunch of gender rules I learned in kindergarten. I'm a normal person seeking truth and definitely not in the grip of some kind of lurid bigotry. The world crushed them. because this is a thing now. And these kids are getting in trouble. Who protested trans athletes' participation banned from future. This video that has been taken down shows them stepping up and going, nope, not doing it. It's a movement. Gay group calls on Hollywood to even more gay characters. GLAAD. TV fell more than 20% during the 2023-24 season, and now the LGBT activist group GLAAD has become especially concerned that there's not enough gay characters in movies. GLAAD tallied all the characters and shows from 23-24 and found there were 468 LGBT characters. During the 2022-23, there were 596. God forbid we see less gay sex. We know that LGBT stories are crucial now more than ever. It's paramount to see our lives reflect on screen, challenge the misinformation and harmful rhetoric. Sarah Kate Ellis, gladly proclaimed, when all of us are in every show, she'll be satisfied at level of representation. We deserve to be in every story. So let's listen to this. Tripe. Sorry, I gotta pull it up and download it. Because it's what's for dinner. It's everywhere. It never stops. It's always over and over. Way too much. It's just too much. If it's not that, then they're talking about how bad it is to be white. Encouraging critical dialogue in our fifth grade classes where students explore white privilege through an anti-race lens using Not My Idea by Anastasia Higginbotham. Building awareness, empathy, and commitment. This was in a fifth grade class. That's good. Bramblett, I'm going to get to a bunch of vids in a second because there's so much. Bramblett Elementary School Principal Todd Gritchen announces they're removing the bizarre LGBTQ-themed video from any future lessons following the libs of TikTok expose. They gave a, we're so sorry. So let's get it on in. Let's get it on in. Let's go to our stuff. So let's watch. Here is, where the fuck is it? Sarah Kate Ellis, here we go.
LGBTQ people today are in all aspects of our cultures and families, so it's only natural for TV to include us in all types of stories. Whenever I'm asked, especially at this time when this report comes out, when will you be happy about representation?
And mm-hmm. I when say, will you be happy?
Show me a family, an office, and a community that doesn't have LGBTQ people in it, and I will say, when all of us are in every show, because we belong there. We are in every family, we're in every community, we're in every school, we're in every office, and we deserve to be in every story as well.
Every fucking story? Are you sure about that? Every story needs a gay person? Because it's not as big as you guys want to make it out to be. It's just not. Let's get to that school one, because it's so much. Here's the video from Libs of TikTok.
Hi, I'm Gulliver, and this is Emmett.
Hey!
Oh, hi. I'm Barry.
Oh, hey!
We are so excited you're here. We could choose another dog.
Oh.
Nice collar.
Oh, thank you. I like it.
So, what do you want to do first? Find a chew toy? Chase our tail? Oh, I know. Let's sniff.
No, actually, I like to play with yarn. Yeah. It's
what?
Fun. Yeah. Yeah. Or I like to clean my paws like this. And you clean your face, too. Yeah. Or we could practice purring like this.
Purring?
Yeah. And we could try to meow.
What?
Meow. 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 Like that. It's great fun. You should try it.
Why not?
Yeah, let's go.
Excuse me, would you? I have to go for a second. I'll be right back.
No problem.
Meow!
Miss Madison? Miss Madison?
Oh, hey, Gulliver. You're back. Did you find Barry?
Yeah. We've got to talk.
He seems like a nice guy.
Oh, great guy. Great guy. He thinks he's a cat.
He thinks he's a cat.
Here we go.
He's over there talking about purring, woof, and licking.
Well, that's okay, isn't it?
What? Well, I think you should talk to him.
About what?
Well, about being more like a dog.
Gulliver, you're really struggling with this.
Struggling?
It's weird.
It's not weird, just different. Yeah. I couldn't ask Barry to change who he is. That would make him really sad.
Yeah, but...
Gulliver, accepting people for who they are is a very important skill.
Yes.
We accept you for who you are.
That's different. I'm a dog who acts like a dog. Well, that's normal.
Not normal, just more common.
I don't understand.
It's okay to have
questions. Yeah, I don't understand either.
Questions are good.
I'm with you, brother.
You accept someone for who they are.
That's interesting. Now, I want you to remember, these are all school for the last 2 weeks.
Today, what we're going to do is we're going to shout, Free Palestine. Can I hear that?
This is like a, this is an intersectional trifecta. Free Palestine, tranny. If he was black, it'd be better, though.
If you're a drag queen and you know it, shout, Free Palestine. If you're a drag queen and you know it,
did you know that it actually does matter if you use someone's correct name and pronouns? Studies have shown that when adolescents have people across any setting, home, school, friends, use their chosen pronoun, they have better mental health outcomes. So what do parents need to know about pronouns? I'm Dr. Angela Cade Getford. I'm the medical director of the gender health program here at Children's Minnesota.
Oh.
And I use pronouns.
And I'm so a tranny, so of course I'm brainwashing kids when they come in. Why not?
Them. We all use pronouns. We all refer to each other with some kind of pronoun, usually she or he, sometimes they or them, or sometimes new pronouns that you might not have heard of. Using someone's pronoun is a way to let them know that you see them, that you understand them, and that you're going to refer to them in the way that they want to be seen. So if your child or teenager shares with you that they would like to try using a different pronoun, it would be a good idea to try it. It could be hard. Maybe you've never known anyone that's used they, them pronouns before. You may have a child that you've always called by she or he, and now they're asking you to call them the opposite pronoun. It's okay if you mess up. I have 3 kids of my own, and if they asked me to start calling them by different pronouns, I'm sure I would make mistakes too. I think it's important to thank your child for sharing that information with you. And
thank them
as best you can to get their pronouns right. If you make a mistake, just simply correct yourself and say, oh, I meant to say he or she, or just make the simple correction. Hey, I was, you know, talking about...
Okay, we're going to stop this for a second. Here's the deal. The problem with this is more and more proof is starting to come up that it's actually brainwashing. And these kids are all getting brainwashed by all these fucking people who really care, the experts... Right? And I just want to make sure we understand that it's a mental illness. We have a mental illness problem in this country. I'm living proof. I mean, I'm in therapy. I don't do well. I have depressing days. I was suicidal. I was this. I was that. I was a million things. And I got help. All right? I got help, and I went and talked to somebody, and over time I realized I wasn't a fucking total failure, a loser, and I didn't need to whack myself. I actually had a life I could still live, even though I didn't understand what it was going to be and I was really upset about things. I literally realized with just some help and somebody in the profession of psychiatric saying, hey, why do you blame yourself for everything? Why do you internalize everything? Why don't you just see that life is just life and sometimes shit goes bad and blah, 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 blah. Well, instead of doing that with these kids, you fucking weirdos, you wanna make sure that you fulfill the delusion because it's a delusion now. There's never been in recorded fucking time this many people becoming trans because now it's cool. It's a total fucking coolness, man. If you're trans, you get special treatment at school. If you're trans, you get special treatment on social media. If you're trans, you can get people to lose their goddamn jobs. because you're trans. You're special. You're unique. Really, you're not anymore.
Did you know, however, there is a gender identity that is linked to the seasons? This is called gender season. And this is a gender identity I've only just learned about. It's a micro identity. It's not an identity that I have ever heard discussed before. It's a new one for me. Gender season is an individual who explores their gender identity in relation to a season or all the seasons. So this might be somebody whose gender expression and identity is linked to one season. So for example, winter. Or this might be somebody whose gender identity and expression changes depending on the season.
I'm not even going to talk. I'm not going to say anything. Here's another kid event. Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh my gosh! Look at Marcy!
Why do kids need to see this? Can anybody tell me why these kids need to see this shit? Anybody? 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 Somebody fucking help me grasp this. There's things in life I can't understand. That's one of them. Here's another kid event.
When is it time to choose a new name? Why does someone become
Arizona State Capitol?
How does one begin? Who? Pauline Hart. What? A Korean-American trans activist. Where? New York City. When? From the time she was
Why? Oh my God! Did we just brainwash? There's another kid in the bathroom. Doesn't belong there.
Why are you in the girls' bathroom?
I'm a trans girl.
But you're not a girl.
Oh, we're doing a lot of deals.
Yeah.
Interesting. Never had this before. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah.
I hope you get help. I really hope you get help. This girl gets her ass beat by a dude.
Fuck the nose ring.
Yep. That's a dude. That's a dude. I'm not going to play it because I don't want to watch kids get beat up. That's a dude beating up a girl. Nothing will happen. This was from Department of Education.
I want kids to be able to see themselves in books that are just about, you know, going to the park with your family. They're getting that sort of information that they might not be getting in the classroom. To be visible in a school setting is to give that mirror for somebody else to say it's okay for me to be visible as well.
Oh, really? Well, then we get into, because these people are such shitbags, we then go into religious stuff. So here is a religious one, but, you know, they don't believe in God.
Drag is holy. There has been an assault on the rights of drag performers in this country, and we must call out the hypocrisy and the injustice. Jesus called himself a mother hen longing to gather up her chicks. Gender is a construct, you see. And if Jesus can be a mother hen, then you can dress in drag.
This is a father who's going off on the school board. I want to set it up. That's the woke preacher. Dad goes off on woke school board following attack by trans student. Traumatory story out of Pennsylvania shines light on just how bad things are in American public schools. Let's listen.
At the end of the day, whether this child who was the attacker has issues or not, a lot of it comes from your policy, your leadership, and what you do or do not accept. I remember at one point you were very focused on everyone has to wear a mask, but you let all these major things go. You let sexual assaults go. You let violence go. And another thing, this was a teenage boy who beat on a little girl. All right, call it what it is. I don't care. Don't look at me like that, Mr. Fusco. You're a father. What if that was your daughter? What if that was your daughter?
That's the thing that's so bad. They are so woke and indoctrinated with this shit that they can't even fucking see that if it was their child, they'd have problems with it. PBS is so invested right now in this shit. Trans man embedded with the Taliban. They show a little video. Do you think he was embedded with the Taliban? The Taliban murder motherfuckers for being trans. Right, here's some compositions. One of the fast forward through most of these.
Every single person. Something's not wired correctly if you feel like you should be a girl when you're a boy.
Questions about how gender can just be assigned at birth. How do you assign a gender? This is how. So when we're born, we're assigned one of two different sugar packets. There's the pink
one.
Okay,
we've seen this before.
Same people who scream, my body, my choice. Damn, it's hard to keep up with these people. Try to get over yourself.
I want to make it clear that the compliment, I had no idea you were trans, is rooted in transphobia. Yeah. Just ask yourself, why is this person's transness something they should be happy that I didn't perceive? It's kind of like, it gets handed to you on a silver platter.
I'm calling everybody dude. I don't know if anybody's been on the show a long time ago. I went to Starbucks. A dude was on the microphone for Starbucks. This is years ago, about 5-6 years ago. And he's talking, and I go, thanks, dude, or thanks, sir. Get up there. He's, how dare you call me sir? And I'm like with the managers right there, this supervisor. He just threw the coffee at my car. How do I know he's a trans person through a fucking microphone when he has a male voice? And she goes, I know. I'm so sorry, sir. We're going to give you a coffee on the house. Of course, I wrote to Starbucks. They didn't give a fuck. But this is how far they are. So I just went to dude.
Yeah, that's about
everybody's
as clear
a
as a brick wall.
Dude.
Dude. All trans polycule.
Trans comedian mm-hmm. and people always tell me, you just got to find a way to relate to cis audiences. Okay, but what if I'm like a lot cooler than them, though? I'm in an 8-person all trans polycule in Los Angeles. I write for TV and America thinks I'm the devil. How about they try to relate to me? Okay, but what if...
A polycule.
Hi, my name is Luce. I'm a trans and polyamorous therapist in Texas, and this is my therapy theme of the week.
Trans polyamorous therapist.
Pay good money for that to not be my therapist.
Yeah, no shit.
Never did I think that working in conservative media would traumatize me this much. But here I am, shocked, literally every day at how far from normal our nation has
I was going to edit all these, but I didn't get time to it.
I love being a lesbian, and I love lesbians, is because we get to show the world that it...
Okay, let's do the math on that. He's a lesbian, a trans female lesbian, or heterosexual. You like fucking pussy, and you like pussy. Excuse the crudeness for those who are offended, sorry. But you like pussy. So that's what I like, and I'm a dude, and we just call that heterosexual. But he's a trans, polyamorous lesbian. What? It's not a mental illness. It's not a mental illness. No, it's not a mental illness. No, it's not.
It's possible to love outside the dimensions of patriarchy. It's as important as the sunshine.
To the left, being a lesbian is as important as the sunshine.
Okay, and last but not least, we covered this a long time ago. I just saw this. We're going to watch this in total. This is that new shit where they're the system and there's different parts of them and it's like Sybil with multiple personalities.
Hi. My name is Tempest.
Tempest.
There's one TikToker that we haven't covered in depth on this channel.
Well, you see, when God was making us, he accidentally knocked our brain off the end of the table and it just...
Sure, we've mentioned them in the past, and it's honestly surprising that we haven't actually done a deep dive on them, considering the fact that they are probably one of the most well-known TikTokers when it comes to DID and just overall mental health on TikTok.
If any of you sees us on any one of those compilations, you had better let us.
A little disclaimer at the beginning, I am pretty sure they do have a DID diagnosis. But one thing is for certain, they definitely play up for the camera, creating new personas and also depicting the mental illness in ways that just simply don't make sense.
My name is Alex. My name is Alex.
But they do claim to have other things among just DID, that being ADHD, OSDD, and BPD. And, of course, DID. As seen by a lot of the tags they actually end up using in their TikTok videos.
Thank you for calling the solar system. The system you are trying to contact is not currently available. Please hold for the next available system member to come to the front.
But as we're gonna see later on in the video, that is just undiagnosed, and they just claim to have it, which isn't how it works. And when talking about very serious subjects such as that, it's important to have a full diagnosis. I've had an interaction with this person in the past as well, and many people have. And you may
be foolish of you.
Oh, here's what she said.
In fact,
yeah,
when people with real DID started getting bullied on the subreddit, she would come to the bully side, aka Pink Sugar Fairies, who we've also covered on this channel. In doing so, she made a very cringy video saying that her name was Tempest, and she is a force to be reckoned with.
Really foolish of you. You really thought you were saying something, didn't you? Listen, I don't have a whole lot to say to you because most people have already absolutely destroyed you, and I personally am very satisfied eating the crumbs. But you failed to take into account one very important thing. Pink Sugar Fairies does an excellent job of standing up for themselves. But do you know what they have that you don't? They have me.
Ooh.
The protection I give
Burn.
To my system extends to my community, and I am not the person to mess with. I really hope you're enjoying getting torn apart as much as I am.
Okay, I can't do it anymore to you. It just keeps going on. This person's really, really in a bad way. But we just don't have that. We have race, because it's an election season. Here's a lady bragging about shoplifting.
I went to Target to get some alcohol because Target. It's Friday, but I don't have the money to pay for the alcohol. So guess what I did? I was just going to take it. I mean, it's free, right?
Yeah,
the price
of course.
Is on there, but I think that's just for like if you want to pay. It's not mandatory. I mean, if I did see something that I wanted to buy, like, I could have, but I didn't want to. I just wanted the alcohol because I had other plans for the day. Tell me why these motherfuckers, I guess they were just on, like, patrol today because it's a Friday. It's starting to get hot outside. They know how the motherfuckers is around the area. But I wasn't the only person stealing in there, and I could tell you I wasn't the only person stealing in there because when I walked up in that bitch, I saw two niggas stuffing chips down their pants. Trying to be inconspicuous, bitch.
There's not a lady. White people are bad.
I keep seeing this, and I think it's important to note that protests do not have to be peaceful. And I feel like the assertion in every publication that I see that the protests at college campuses across the country are peaceful, and the continued naming that they're peaceful feels like some level of objectivity there, like that is the right way to protest. Even if the protests were not peaceful, which I would argue a protest is never peaceful, that does not make them ineffective, right? If these protests move in the direction of not being peaceful, that does not mean that students now deserve to be arrested, right? That their First Amendment rights should be violated now that they are not peaceful.
Once again, you fucking moonbats don't understand. First Amendment is speech. You've somehow been able to twist the whole DOJ against everybody else that you can burn an American flag because that's speech, but you can't burn a BLM flag, can't burn an Antifa flag, can't burn an LGBT flag, can't burn out on an LGBT flag painted on a fucking road. That's not freedom of speech. That's persecution of a supported group that gets them elected every fucking so many years. It's fucking lunacy. And you know it. So, we're going to go to our last section. It's going to be election. Going to start out with J.D. Vance dogging that idiot on CNN. And CBS claiming human smuggling at the border is more complex than just people being smuggled.
It's pretty unusual for the number three person in the Department of Justice to then go to the New York prosecutor's office to bring a bogus case against Donald Trump and then to have the judge presiding over that case to be a donor to Biden-Harris. I think that's pretty unusual, Caitlin, and really is, aside from your views or anyone else's views about Donald Trump, this is a real threat to Americans' trust in the legal system. If you look at polling, even a lot of folks who are going to vote for Joe Biden think that the lawfare against Donald Trump is bogus. We're destroying faith in the American system of law and order to try to bring down Joe Biden's political opponent. That's a threat to democracy.
The business of human smuggling, according to the Department of Homeland Security, is a multi-billion dollar industry run by criminal organizations intent on taking advantage of vulnerable people. The story De Leon tells is more complex.
I can write a story about how they're the bad guys in this whole scenario and all they do is brutalize migrants. But if you think about the realities of it, if smugglers only brutalized migrants, the system wouldn't function. And so I went into it telling myself that, you know, what can I find that's relatable? It's not trying to humanize smugglers. It's working from the assumption that they are human first and that they just happen to be in this brutal occupation.
The low-level smugglers De Leon met said issues like poverty and gang violence had driven them out of Honduras, the same issues many migrants also face.
You talk about smuggling and think what you write, it's violent, it exploits people, but that it's also a symptom of a larger problem. What is that larger problem?
We need to think about, why are people migrating in the first place? And, you know, why does the United States have an insatiable appetite for cheap, undocumented labor that we rarely acknowledge? And as long as you need the labor, and as long as climate is changing and making places unlivable, those smugglers are gonna stay in business and just make more money off of this whole process.
It's an industry that continues to grow as migrant encounters at the U.S.-Mexico border hit record highs, with people coming from as far away as Africa, the Middle East, and Asia.
People are coming from around the globe. They're coming up from South America through the Darien Gap. It's a window into the future. As all those places become unlivable for different reasons, we're going to continue to see that, you know, that mix of people coming up from the south to our doorstep.
A future De Leon hopes can be made easier by considering different perspectives and the humanity of everyone involved.
The approaches that we've been using to deal with these problems have clearly been ineffective for decades, and yet we just don't seem to want to get smarter about this stuff. I hope with this book that it's a way to undermine the simplistic framings of what the problem actually is. You can build whatever border wall you want. There are desperate people on the other side who are willing to die to save themselves, to save their family. And then there are smugglers who are...
From Todd in Oregon, Biden's forgiving $6.1 billion in student debt for 317 people against the wishes and the fucking decision of the Supreme Court. That's why I don't understand the Supreme Court stuff. Left goes crazy about Supreme Court and how the Supreme Court's this, the Supreme Court... You guys don't follow any of the laws. They don't fit within your fucking woke spectrum, your religion. You're fucked. Morning's consult, presidential poll, plus a morning consult, Bloomberg. Nevada, Trump 48, Biden 37. Wisconsin, Trump 44, Biden 41. North Carolina, Trump 48, Biden 38. Arizona, Trump 46, Biden 40. Georgia, Trump 47, Biden 39. Pennsylvania, 43-42, Trump. Michigan, 43-40, Biden. Yeah. This made all the fucking woke newspapers. Texas man files legal action to probe ex-partner's out-of-state abortion. Let's do the math on this. Just because you guys are all for fucking abortion, it's her body, her choice. Well, if that's the case, then when a guy wants a woman to have an abortion, why does he have to pay child support? It's her body, her choice. He didn't want the baby. You see, you can't have it both fucking ways. I personally, if I was in a relationship with a woman and she decided to do that, it's fucking on like Donkey Kong. It is fucking on like Donkey Mother fucking Keon. I am going to fight that if I want that baby. And then you're going to say, well, you can't do that. Her body, her choice, Tony. Well, you know what? You can't have it both ways. You just can't. And we do this with all these. CNN, the DOJ chick. This lady was fucking extreme. Everybody knew it. Here we are. Leader of the Justice Department Civil Rights Division, Kirsten Clark, said an extraordinary personal statement shared with CNN that she was a victim of years-long domestic abuse and chose not to disclose an expunged arrest record from that period during the Senate confirmation process. Clark, now expunged arrest, which reportedly occurred during a domestic dispute, quickly became a case celeb among right-wing media and lawmakers, claimed she lied during her 2021 Senate confirmation. Like 2 decades ago, I was subject to year-long abuse and domestic violence at the hands of my ex-husband. This was terrorizing and traumatizing period that I've thought to put behind me and promote my personal health. She lied. She fucking lied. That's just the way it is. She was a righty. She lied. She didn't lie. She lied. How hard is this shit? Why is one side held accountable and the other isn't? I'm just asking for a friend. I don't know why you guys are this way. Racist hobbies? Threat of hobbies lefties deem racist, a hilarious look into the joyless woke mind. Is your hobby racist? Is chess racist? The ABC asked listeners in the game. Prejudice gets white. Goes first. The price on your Monopoly bowl would hold dark secret. Location, location, location. The transmission of racist ideology and baseball cards. Racism in birding. Racism in backpacking. Monuments and teams have changed names as American records with racism. Birds are next. The knitting community is racist. Cycling's racist. Weeding is racist. Fuck weeding. Out horticulture race problem. Oh, I was going to say, Reed's racist. Does this look unpleasant? Academics signed up for the National Trust to lecture us on the evils behind our most glorious estate. Says gardening is racist. New class review 41. The whiteness of glass. Glass is racist. The unbearable whiteness of hiking again. Bad things happen in the woods. Anxiety for black people and whitening. Pottery's racist. Black Lives Matter, even origami's racist. Scrapbooking's racist. Unweaving the whitewashed legacy of crotch stitches racist. I don't have to code switch how black and brown rock climbers are racist. Systemic racism can't be fixed without it within cycling. How to diversify whitewater and build inclusive river, because that's racist. Skiing's racist. Angling, fishing's racist. Jogging's racist. Snowboarding's racist. Community demand theater address systemic racism in theater. Diving's racist. I'm not done. Golf's racist. Magic is racist. D&D's racist. SoulCycle's racist. And CrossFit is racist AF. But everybody wanted to get rid of this douchebag for being incompetent. They couldn't do it because she was black. Yeah. Yep. We're not going to touch that. Not touching that. All right, next one's DEI. UCLA Med School doc says obesity is slur and weight loss a hopeless endeavor. UCLA Medical School mandatory health equity class for health. Students are weight loss a hopeless endeavor and obesity is a slur. All first-year students are assigned an essay by Marquis Mercedes, a self-described fat liberation, who describes how weight came to pathologize and medicize or racialize terms, resisting entrenching fat oppression. Here's the reality. I tore my stomach from sternum to my belly button. It's called a tummy tuck. It's not covered if you're a dude. An intestine popping out, it started my digestive problems, and they outright said I'd have to lose 100 fucking pounds. I did. They still didn't give me the fucking operation. If I would have said I need to be transgender, though, I would have got it because I would have been a woman. Bowman declares racist Daniel Penny guilty of murder even before the trial. A year ago, Jordan Neely was murdered on a subway for being black, unhoused, and hungry. Unhoused is still killing me. Unhoused people like Jordan should be met with wraparound service and community care. Mike Davis, this pile of shit congressman is hiding behind the congressional immunity by defaming Daniel Penny as a murderer. Penny wasn't even charged with murder. Jordan Neely was a violent thug. Be a man, Jamal. Say this from your personal account, you coward. Yeah. Me likey. This is the kind of shit that Mr. Biden's putting out from us crap. My administration will never stop working to cancel student debt, no matter how many times Trump and extreme MAGA Republicans try to stop us. Praise the Supreme Court for nominees for voting to kill President Biden's original student debt. Tried to send public service loan forgiveness program. Allow the average student debt burden grow by $4,000 during his first term. One person's reply, you do not cancel student debt. You do transfer this debt to hardworking Americans. That's the problem, and people know it. They know it. So you can try this shit, Biden. Everything is 5 degrees of separation from fucking Trump, but I'm sorry, that shit ain't gonna work. So I'm gonna try to edit this one. I should have edited this before. In fact, I'm gonna stop and edit this really quick, and then we're gonna go back into videos. Okay, I tried to edit that, but there is no freaking. It was a word salad by Kamala Harris. This is a white lady saying America's racist. I thought I'd play it because it goes with this whole fucking administration. This is what it's about.
We are talking specifically about white men. And I'm just going to say it. Fucking unapologetically going to say it. White men are the most dangerous species in the entire fucking world to women and to everyone else.
And I bet you have sex with a white man. Shut the fuck up and stop virtue signaling. This is how they're trying to protect the president from letting, or protect, shield us from the president's inability to walk. Look at this shit. Catch it? They got all those people to the side to block, so when you get the picture, he looks like he's brisk. Then we have what they do all the time. When news gets bad, they bring in a celebrity. Here's fucking...
What is Mark Hamill doing here today?
I think he said he was meeting with... He was having a meeting. Did you not like having him here?
No, I mean, that was like, we all love
it sounded very kind of like, why here? He said it himself. We wanted to make sure that he provided, which is one of the reasons he spoke to why he was here himself. He wanted to meet people.
That's bullshit.
The room a little bit on a Friday.
Right out the mood. So let's hear what he had to say. Here he is.
Well, you know, I called him Mr. President. He said, you can call me Joe. And I said, can I call you Obi-Wan Kenobi?
That's all they have. That's all they have. That's all they ever have. They don't have anything else. They don't have anything else. They just don't. They have nothing. Their whole world is fucking devised around trying to mind fuck people. And it's unbelievable. So, our This Is America is Senator Kennedy again. We just did the Clark lady. Every one of his nominations have been lying, cocksucking pieces of shit that know nothing about the job. We say it for Republicans, but we don't say it for Democrats. Here's your sign.
This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now.
This is America.
Dr. Supran, on December 14, 2023, you tweeted in support of climate defiance. That's an entity that the Brookings Institute has called a radical climate change group. Is that correct?
I don't recall, I'm afraid.
Okay. Would this be the same climate defiance that you, I'm looking at your tweet, you tweeted in support of them. Would this be the same climate defiance that called Senator Joe Biden, quote, a sick f***?
I don't know, but as I
would this be the same climate defiance that calls Senator Lisa Murkowski a murderer?
I do not know. As I said in my statement,
would this be the same climate defiance who told the CEO of Exxon to, quote, eat sh*t, Darren, close quote?
I'm not responsible for the statements of other
nice
people.
Nice group you're hanging around with, the Doc. Here's what your tweet says. Quote, we do, in support of climate defiance, we do not do online petitions. We do not do NGO coalition letters. We do not do f***ing bus stop ads. We chase fossil fuel CEOs and the politicians who do their bidding, and we do not apologize, close quote. Did I read that correctly?
That is not my tweet, sir.
That is your tweet. I'm looking
Nobody
at it. Here's a copy right here. It's right off your website, Biggest Dallas.
On I'm
October
31, that
2023,
tweet,
you said this on Twitter. Quote, climate justice was coined by our movements to locate it as a struggle against genocidal racial injustice, colonialism, and apartheid. If your climate justice doesn't stand with the Palestinians against colonialism and apartheid, then your climate justice has no justice in it, close quote. Did you say that?
I believe not.
Here it is,
may I please see the documents?
Yes, sir, and the witnesses' documents there.
May I please point out that this form
the senator's time has expired and there are other senators waiting.
I've got a bunch more tweets. Thank you for your objective advice,
I'm sure you
Doc.
Do. You can put them into a question for the record. And
yes, I'd like to submit all of the good doctor's objective tweets and scientific analysis for the record.
That will be done without objection. Senator Merkley.
May I clarify one final point?
Proceed.
These are not my tweets. These are retweets. It's an important contradiction.
Oh, you often retweet stuff you don't support? Is that what you're telling me, Doc?
I did not say that I don't support this. I simply did not tweet it, which, as you were alleging.
But you retweeted
I'd like to make very clear that this form of character assassination
them,
is characteristic of the propaganda techniques
you
of fossil fuel
You retweeted
Senator
them,
Merkley.
Didn't you?
Thank you.
Are you going to call me a...
And to finish the show for the next months till the election, I just want to... Once again, DHS flights, overflights, roughly 200,000 migrants, 161,552 arriving in the state of Florida in four cities, Miami, Florida, Orlando, and Tampa. In South Carolina, what did we do? We gave them voter IDs or voter registration forms. And he wants to give DACA to all. ACA to DACA. His plan is less you, more everybody else. And it's always been that plan. They jump from group to group. If you're black, you're okay for a week. Then you're not. And I don't understand why people don't see it for what it is. They don't fucking care about you. They just don't. So you really need to get to the point where you start looking at, hey, do they really care about me? Is this the party that I need to be with? I would say probably not. If I was a betting American, I don't think Trump's any better. I think they all fucking suck. But this shit is jacked the fuck up. So, that wraps up another episode of Flyover Politic Podcast. Please share it with family and friends. Go to Flyover Politic with a K. Rumble 482-467. I almost fucked it up. Email me at foppodcast@gmail.com. Disconnect from all your devices. Don't give the yeah yes. And let's tune on in. This is the 5th. We're going to go for our next show on the 9th. 9th of Dog Gone. Oh, no, I can't do that. I got a doctor's appointment. 8th of May, year of our Lord. 2024. As always, thanks for listening. Take care.